friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
All right, we're on.
Oh, hi.
Hey. Good morning. Oh. All right. Well, today we are discussing. I'm on the wrong page.
Red, white, and royal blue.
So, did you guys? Yeah. I gather there was a movie. Did you?
No,
guys...
it's like a Amazon Prime. Like they featured it, and I think they made a mini series. I didn't watch it.
No, I want to though.
I want
to.
Yeah,
but it'd be really cute. They were
kind
of cute little. Cute.
So this is, I think, Casey McQuiston's debut novel, published in 2019. So it's about 6 years old, about this time of year, I think May 2019, which I think is great. We selected this book specifically because we wanted to kind of have a Pride Month and make sure we were encompassing all aspects of love and and life. And so I'd come across this a couple times in
They're
a lot
so
of people
because
I'm always looking at literary agents and a lot of literary agents point out this book is one that they really liked.
Yeah.
And like, this is a style, like I'm interested in
it. It has
style.
A great tone.
Mm-hmm. For a minute, like it took me a minute to get used to the snarkiness of the main character.
Yeah.
Because he's real sarcastic and.
Yes.
Okay. And don't get me wrong, I like those characters and I love that she stayed true to that character throughout the whole book, but it took me a minute to like ease into that.
Okay.
Well, and sometimes with the snarky character, it's kind of hard to see their growth.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if they're being. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he grew on me.
Oh, and you know, this is what I loved about this book too is what we're always talking about is friendship before love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you see throughout this book is this friendship developing.
Yes.
I mean,
it's
one of those, like, they don't like each other, but then they become
really
good
enemies.
Enemies to lovers. So that was the trope.
Yes.
Enemies to friends to lovers.
Well, yes, I think the lover and the friend kind of, like, went pretty quick. I think it was a passion driven.
No, they were.
It was over 7 months.
Yeah, they were friends for a really long time because they were.
Well, not before they kissed. I mean, I think that they realized.
Well,
I don't know. For me, I felt like it grew. Like they were a little bit like, oh, you're not the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, and
so
you're
let's
hot.
Let's get into the details of this a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, I do have to point out. But as I was reading this, because I'm writing that book right now.
We're so excited about
and
that.
And I'm so stoked about
it. I love it.
And
because there are some similarities.
There are a lot of similarities because my main character in the book that I'm writing is actually the one that's running for president. And so as I am writing that, I am thinking, oh my gosh, the time frame of this is so different because this book, she is the president and she is the incumbent running for office for a second term.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so she's already won. This country has a female president. And I'm thinking back. So this was published in 2019. I'm guessing because the way that with publishing and how long it takes for a book to actually come to press, she probably started writing it, I would guess, in 2015-ish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When there was a real chance that we might have had a female president.
Yeah.
And I think right now we're imagining what that would be like. I know I'm imagining what that would be like.
Of course.
And so that's why I'm like so excited about that prospect. Because I think that that's, I loved that that was a huge part of this story.
Me too.
Because it just kind of opened up a lot of different concepts that we've never considered before.
I think that a female president. I think there was a lot of new ideas about people playing different roles in government, which I kind of like that idea too. What that might look like.
Right. We're there's this overall sense of like, we're stuck in this rut of a particular faction running the country for you know, centuries. Mm-hmm.
And what if you, what if that,
what if we reinvented that?
Yeah, what if that switched up a little bit? What would that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I loved the way that she mentions that.
Yes. I do too.
It was a really cool aspect of this book.
And I thought so too.
It did drive the plot quite a bit to have, you know, this powerful leader and the first son.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of a first husband. It was cute.
Yes.
And then, you know, just that the, when you're in that circle, like the people that you meet as a result of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So president, and her name was Ellen Claremont.
Yep.
She has her two kids, Alex and June. And
I can't believe that she was, you know, she is a divorcee too.
Yes.
She was. And they love that.
But they pointed out, like, we don't want to remind people of that because we're going to be judged for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that is something that the American public would probably, you know, that your votes would go down because of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I just because of who our president is right now, sometimes I'm like, oh, I read these little blips. And this could be a total conspiracy theory. I am not saying that this is reality in any way, shape, or form. But like, there was somebody that was saying that Melania worked it in that she would stay with him because he wanted to run. Because supposedly there's some rift going on in their marriage. And that was really important. And she got to cut some financial deal or whatever. Yeah. Because if he had gotten divorced, like, he wouldn't have had a chance to run.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that makes there's sense. Some truth to that. I yeah. really do.
Well, he's, to had that a couple aspect. Of, he's had a couple of marriages.
Definitely.
So, you
definitely,
know what I mean? People, like, are like, eh, come
yeah.
on.
To run as a divorcee. But she's remarried in this book.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some absolute truth to that. I don't know about that conspiracy theory. I do not know them personally.
but that could have changed. Yeah. That could have changed things for him
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Who knows? But so she is remarried. And her ex-husband, though, is Senator Diaz. His name is Oscar. And her first husband, he plays a cute little role.
Yes.
But I didn't even remember his name. Was it Leo or?
The first husband?
Yeah.
It was Oscar.
No, that was her ex, Oscar Diaz.
First husband.
He was a senator.
She only had one husband, Oscar. First.
Mm-hmm. And then she got remarried.
Yeah, she was remarried.
Was remarried, but he was such a such cute, a small, superfluous, like, blip in the story
Leo.
That
yes,
I didn't even
yes.
catch.
Okay, I see what you're, and he acts as first man. Yes, yeah. Leo.
Yes.
I'm
sorry.
And
yeah.
he, I mean, there's just little parts where he's like, oh, I'm decorating this or whatever. And
yeah.
Like,
oh, yes. Okay, cute. Yeah. Now that makes sense, because I was like, first husband.
I mean,
what? Like, oh, yeah. He is the first husband. He's the first man.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Got it. That's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah. You're like, who's your first husband? I'm like, she didn't have a first husband. The first husband was Oscar.
It was Oscar. You're right. I'm talking the first man of the United States.
Yes.
All of us.
Okay.
And I can't remember his name. But
yeah. It is Leo.
Leo?
Yes.
Thank you. You
are right.
Have good notes. And then, so the two kids, Alex wants to go into politics. He's the younger of the two.
Yeah. He wants to be the first, he wants to be the youngest congressman ever elected.
Yes.
So that's his goal.
Yeah. Which I think is kind of funny. Like, he has some self-reflection on, as he's, you know, as he's going through his changes, and his, I think that his relationship with Henry does change kind of some of his perspective, like, mm-hmm. his goal at the beginning of this was to be the first and stuff, and then he was going, well, wait a second, maybe I need to get more law background, maybe I can help more people, I can,
that was part of
do
his
more that was part of his growth trajectory.
I like that
was
too.
That impact of that, and then he's like, maybe it's not so important that I, you know, be this shiny, you know, impressive, mm-hmm. maybe it's more important that I can do more for people.
Yeah.
And I think that's so kind of cute how I think he kind of got that from Henry a little bit, and also from realizing I might be able to have more of an impact if I learn the law instead of just being so good at working people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was kind of an interesting little change in him.
Yeah.
I liked that too.
June, she wants to be a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got their friend Nora, who was maybe one of my favorite characters.
Yes.
She's adorable.
She's the vice president's
granddaughter.
Daughter.
Granddaughter.
Granddaughter?
Uh-huh.
Cool. Granddaughter.
And the three of them, they're called the White House Trio.
Yeah.
Nora, June, and Alex.
And Nora is like a data analyst. She's my dream is to become like just a super observer and analyze all the data and then go watch it from a hillside and watch all my predictions come to fruition.
Oh my God. That is so awesome.
I know. I mean, I love that concept that there's like people that are really that good at analyzing the data.
I'm not that
person.
And she loves it.
And she loves it. And so I love that like you can go to Nora for advice and she'll give you like solid analytics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Well, but then she's
I was just gonna say the three of them are so supportive of each other.
Yeah.
They really in whatever they're doing, whatever, they are have each other's backs. And they're going to tell each other the truth, too, about their relationship.
And I think that if you are in a relationship with someone or getting into a relationship, you hold on to those people.
Absolutely. Yes,
because you need your...
Mm-hmm. You need to know who do you really trust?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, who really is your friend besides who just wants to be your friend because you're the first son or the
and that's why they were so close to each other because that's just a strange dynamic.
Well,
I don't think we've ever had that dynamic in the history of the United States where we've had we've had kids in the White House.
But you also look like the parallel between like Henry and his brother. You know, the way that that relationship was written was they didn't have that. Like, so Henry didn't have anybody like this. And so
he had B, actually that's right.
You were
so we got the, and then that. On the so on the other end of things, the royals, we've got B, Henry.
Who hates being royal.
Yes. And then I cannot remember
Philip. Yeah.
So the three of them and Philip. So I don't know if you guys ever read Spare. Did you guys read Spare? Mm-hmm. Prince Harry wrote it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. I think this is a must read.
Okay.
It gave, and I'm not somebody that follows the royals a whole lot. It's not a thing that I'm super interested in. And I never understood, I don't understand that aristocracy.
I don't get it.
I can't say that word even.
Oh God, I don't understand it because you can't say it.
Aristocracy.
Yes.
Is that the right word?
Yes.
I don't understand that concept. Yeah. It just, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They're public servants, but they're not at the same time.
They're public figureheads.
They're figureheads. Yeah, I don't understand that concept. And so it was interesting to get his take on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the term spare, like what that really means.
Spare, yeah.
And she did play into that a little bit. But that book didn't come out until, a year or two ago?
Yeah.
And so she wrote this like 8 years before.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of parallels. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if she was using that, the royal family, because so Henry B. and Philip's father was this famous actor.
Yes. James Bond.
Yes.
Oh, la la.
I know. Who didn't love James Bond and doesn't love James Bond?
Yeah.
What's your favorite iteration of James Bond? I would say Daniel Craig.
I like Sean Connery, and I like the newer blonde one.
Is there a newer blonde one?
Well, from newer as like, you know, 20 years ago. Yeah, I think it is him. Yeah. I'm terrible at names. You know, newer like 20 years ago.
He looked totally different because the other two, Sean.
Yes, he did. He totally looked.
Roger Moore?
He was the first blonde.
Oh,
yes, Roger Moore. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He was cutie too.
Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan is like la la to me.
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan was my. They're all.
But they're all that tall, dark
and handsome.
Yeah, mysterious.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Craig has blonde hair.
Yeah, exactly.
So different
but I thought
look,
he was amazing.
But I was
amazing.
Like, he did great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, but so James
Bond. Yeah,
I'll
take any James Bond version.
Sure. Yeah.
Because Pierce Brosnan
was,
you know, like, I don't know. I have a sweet spot for Pierce Brosnan.
Of course you do. Because he was, wasn't he in Dante's Peak?
Oh, he was. Yeah, they filmed up here and stuff.
So that I love that, he, like, Henry does still have support. like Alex in B and his friend, his very good friend, Pez.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, Pez is adorable.
Yeah. Pez was also one of my favorite characters.
Yes. I mean, how can you not like him? He's like, hello, darling. Yeah. I'm amazing at everything.
Yes. And I think he's from Saudi Arabia, somewhere in...
I didn't write it down.
I don't remember where he's from, but he's like some mogul and super rich, of course.
Yeah,
and,
yes.
But so, carefree, easy loving.
And they've been friends for a really long time.
Oh, he's a dope.
Yeah, and then they support each other.
I feel bad about Henry and the spare thing, because like ever since South Park did the episode on Meghan Markle and Prince Henry,
I'm like, don't look at me.
Oh my God. Ever since South Park has done that episode, I just can't like, I'm like, every time I see them,
my dream is to be made fun of on South Park.
Oh my gosh. I love him. I know. I'm like, I'll be dog number three. I will bark. Like, didn't they have George Clooney be dog number three? He's like, I want to do South Park. And they're like, okay, you're dog number three and you're going to bark. And that's your whole thing. He's like, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm totally in for that.
I know. I'm like, yes, you rock. I'm like, that. We don't allow egos here at South Park.
A couple other people that are really supportive of each of these characters. Henry has his like kind of bodyguard kind Shane is his agent.
Mm-hmm.
Agent Shane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it called? I wrote something down that makes
Equestrian?
Or were you trying to spell the Pez name and you just forgot the
P? So it says Agent Shane.
He's just
the royal bodyguard, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. I wrote something weird down.
He's a very solid, he's not like mega personality, but he's just a very consistent, solid
human. He's like a Bond or something.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. like an everything. Mm-hmm. He organizes Henry's life. He's like his bodyguard. He's everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Alex has
Amy,
Zara, and Cash.
Yeah.
And they're like, Cash and Amy are like secret agents.
I thought Zara, what was Zara's role?
Zara is a deputy chief of staff.
Yeah.
But
okay.
She's like, Ellen's right hand woman.
Kind of like the family handler and PR control.
She handles mm-hmm. all of that, like, yeah, everything Valerie said. And then Cash and Amy are like the secret service agents.
Mm-hmm. And Amy's so cute. Amy's all like, you got 5 minutes, make it quick.
Right.
And I love their discretion, but they were very
professional.
Also understand in a sense, because I think Amy is her, they both have sexual preferences that are not what you could consider normal.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I think Amy has a wife. And Cash, I can't remember what was going on. They didn't really touch on that a lot, but I know that he...
Completely straight
or whatever.
Good pick up on that. I didn't catch that one.
Okay, so.
So it starts out.
Yeah.
They're at the royal wedding.
Yeah.
Prince Philip is getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a long standing history of like, they're, at least for Alex. He thought the first time they met was at some Olympic thing in Brazil or something.
Yes,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And he kind of felt snubbed by him.
Yeah.
Well, because the press had built these two up, like, this is our version and this is your version. And so they were super compared to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like, oh, you guys are always going to be compared to each other forever and ever. And then he felt like,
he gave him the serious, not fun loving. And like, what's his problem?
I think Alex came up to him at like Wimbledon or something like
that.
Yeah. Said like, oh, hi, you know, trying to be nice. And Henry's kind of snubbed him, and then he overheard Henry tell Sean, get rid of that guy. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, then after that,
He's like,
but Alex has been watching Henry for years.
Well, yes. In magazines and stuff.
Yes,
he's like,
yes.
Carefully taking it out.
So he kind of had an admiration for him. And then when he was snubbed, I think it really hurt his feelings.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then like, how dare you? I'm just as good as you. And yeah, very much. He was butt sore.
Yeah,
but
so
this started
time,
a
though,
riff.
Yeah, it did. Definitely started a riff. But I think I liked that Alex pointed out, like, you know, I'm half Mexican, half American, which I loved that part
yes.
of it.
Uh-huh.
But everybody watches me differently. Like, they expect mm-hmm. things differently of me than they do of you. Like, you've been in this your whole life. You've been
You're
in that.
Prince.
And I wasn't raised this way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to behave differently because that microscope is on me even more so because we are unique. Our family is unique. We're a blended family and it's not the same.
Yeah. And we don't have a set place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are constantly having
to be kicked out at any moment.
Impressions so that people judge us and then also not just judge us because Henry's probably their family's judged.
Oh,
also.
Hard.
Are you kidding me? The tabloids exist because of the royals.
Yes,
yes, exactly.
Alex's, they're in
Alex's
not
family, the first lady, they are not the president. She's not the first lady. The president.
Yeah.
They are going to be running for re-election. And so like a lot of the things they do could weigh in on whether they're
especially
serve another term.
With the I mean, I'd love to say that there wasn't a mom bias, but you know, if anyone perceives kids are misbehaving, the reflection falls more on mom than it does dad.
Yeah,
that's totally what my book is about.
I know, which is so messed up. Like,
but it's the reality.
But it's the reality that we live in. I mean,
I think we should imagine that reality and talk about it.
I mean, how messed up is it that that's the situation? It's like, oh my goodness, you know. The baby comes out of me. I'm the one who changes my lifestyle for all of that. I go through the physical changes. You know, like.
Yeah, it was interesting to see how she portrayed Ellen in this book.
Uh-huh.
Because.
Mom just hit a button switch. Right now I'm on this mode. Okay.
Yeah, I think that to be the president, you would really have to be able to compartmentalize quite a bit.
Absolutely.
And separate your life that way.
Yeah.
Personal can't get involved at all.
Do you know, I think she did, it sounds like she did a pretty good job of it because like I know about
she
that.
She did.
As a mom sometimes.
The PowerPoints though.
As a mom sometimes.
I loved that part. That was cute.
I could totally see you making PowerPoints, Lisa. But as
what do
a,
you mean?
As
I do
a,
that all the time.
As a mom, I can even just like, and I'm not the president. Oh my God, thank God for that. But poor country. But like, she did a really good job of, I don't know, I could learn from her because I sometimes have a hard time separating my ego from my kids' experiences, you know, where I'm just like, oh, what did I do wrong? Instead of just going, how can I help my kid? Like I say, I do both of them, but I know that I have some ego in there sometimes. Like when I'm helping my kids or I'm seeing my children struggle, obviously I'm like so concerned and I want to help them. But I have to say that there is a part of me that, you know, after I'm through the crisis with my kids, I'm going, what did I do wrong?
I
do internalize it.
That women experience differently than men.
Yeah.
That women, we have this mother's guilt about being working moms. And I think that men might not experience it the same way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it does impact
and
a little bit.
Even if you're not working, even when I was a stay-at-home mom, it was just that, oh my God, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And my whole job is how well my kids are turning out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, sometimes I think it's easier to not be a stay-at-home mom because you can like maintain your identity better.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many aspects to that, but
it's challenging.
Yeah, I mean, one of my friends just had a baby, and it's great because she got time off to stay with the baby, like for the first three months.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And then her husband got time off.
Did they take turns?
Yeah, so they just put him in daycare for the next couple weeks until. She's a teacher, so she'll get the summer off. But, you know, he is back at work. And because he spent like those couple months with their baby, he is so sad because he was like with the baby consistently.
Yeah.
And now he gets home from work at 6. And then they put the baby to bed and he's like, oh my gosh, I think I
need baby time.
Yeah. I wonder if more men had the opportunity to spend, like, make that
be the primary
connection, have your baby rely on you and solely you for a time, if that would switch that.
I want to ask Brad that, because we were like real 50-50 for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, we took shifts, you know. I would say that he raised the kids when they were infants just as much as I did, and then even more so because of different circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, he's been more of the primary parent figure, actually.
I feel like you had a couple of years
where you were kind of, I felt like you were really the primary, though.
I have never not worked.
Well, I know that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Ben and I both had to work. I mean, it really, like, our income really relied on both our incomes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and we had to adjust. We had to figure it out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work when you're not working. You work when, you know, you'll have the kids. I'll have the kids.
When yours were little, Courtney, I was just amazed by you. You were like, okay, I'm going to totally. When I felt like you were managing the children, like 80, you know, you were trying to make your own income and keep up and hold your own with Ben. But I felt like you were doing 80-85% of the kid time
when they were and
when they were small and stuff. I was just like, and you weren't sleeping and it was running a toll on you. You got so sick for so long and everything and you couldn't heal. It was tearing your body apart. Like I'm like, whoa, girl, it broke you a little bit doing it. Because you were actually taking on like 85%
of it. I was looking at some pictures of that time period and I can see it in my face.
I could see it in your face.
I looked really sick.
You were so sick.
You think, how was I?
Gosh. Well, I remember when you had surgery and stuff like that too. I was just like, oh my God, how is she going to do this? Because you were still expected at that time period to manage the kids 85%.
Yeah.
When you were dying, you would be dying and you were still expected to manage 85% of the kids and hold your end of the
income.
It's not
easy to be a mom.
And I was just like, oh my God, how are you doing this? And that's why I was like, I hope you don't mind. And I'm just like, here's two weeks worth of food and coolers.
Here's the ghost food. If I win $1 million, I'm going to totally help you.
I know. I was just like, oh my goodness.
But you know.
Yeah. I mean, you were still like the best friend. Like, she was so sweet. She taught me how to run. And she was like, I'm done. I'm fat. Because I gained so much weight when I was pregnant. And Courtney's all like, it's okay, slow girl. I'll run with you in the morning.
Yeah, we all have our moments.
You are amazing.
I think that Ellen does a lot of this too. I mean,
she juggles
everything, and to be a president, that's more responsibility than being a cosmetologist.
Oh no, can I just tell you, you two girls are amazing at juggling
it's
it all.
Lot.
You
it's
girls, like, I just have to tell you.
Well, Valerie, we're going to say you're pretty amazing too.
There's
I didn't have to ever like juggle anything as the way you girls did. I'm all like, how am I going to make that other cake now? Like, my problems were small.
They were big to me.
Well, I had some big problems too, but.
So they are at this wedding.
Yeah, they have to. It's Prince Philip's wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Alex and Nora and June go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
you should go, you know, try to show, you know, make a show of your friendship or
Yeah.
For the cameras.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were trying to pull up because they had the cake catastrophe.
Well, that happened. So they're over near each other. Mm-hmm. And they were like being a little bit like, And I think one of them body checked the other or something. And they're like, hey, a little bit of a scuffle. and they lost their footing and they landed on the $75,000 cake and the cameras are all there.
Yeah.
So now there's this international
scandal
where they have to save face.
Yeah.
So that's what sets the story in motion. Mm-hmm. And
because they want to, instead of having it be like, they were like, body checking you. They were like, oh, we want to push off like, no, bro. And like, oh no, we just fell into the cake.
Yeah. So now they have to present to the world that they are friendly for international relations. Because re-election and whatever with the
Royals.
But yeah, so they go on this goodwill tour and they're in the hospital. Which is really important to Henry because his dad had died of pancreatic cancer 4 years prior. Mm-hmm. And so,
which is like the worst cancer to die from.
Yeah, it's rough. Patrick Swayze.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway, and many, mm-hmm. many people. But that's a face that people mm-hmm. recognize.
Yeah.
He's overhearing him talk to this young cancer patient. Mm-hmm. And I think Alex gets to see the softer, loving, caring side of Henry that he'd never seen before.
Yeah, because he realizes, oh, this guy's genuine because mm-hmm. there's no cameras rolling. It was just him being loving and caring and attentive to this little girl.
Yeah, so it was really good for him to see that. And it was an eye-opening experience. And they walk away from that. And out of nowhere, there's this pop sound and they're shoved into a broom closet mm-hmm. like haphazardly and slammed shut so that Cash can like make sure that they're safe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they once again land on top of each other. There's no room. I don't know who was on top this time, but there's something in the air that shifts a little bit. Yes. And you can tell.
Yes.
There's something like they
both respond.
They are snarky in the beginning of the closet incident, but mm-hmm. by the time that they are let out of the closet,
they didn't
they're
want to come
becoming
out.
Becoming friends.
And not only that, they had decided, they're like, you know that we can't just do this one time we're friendly event because the world's going to be like, well, what's next?
Yeah.
So we have to continue this facade.
Yeah.
We have to figure out how to interact with each other positively.
Mm-hmm. And in a public way too, because we need to show that, you know.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Alex was looking at Henry as being kind of a cold, mm-hmm. selfish, sort of self-centered human.
Yeah.
And that interaction at the hospital and then the conversation in the closet uh-huh. shifts Alex's mm-hmm. view of Henry.
And and prior to that, before, he also had a little bit of he's human because he caught the prince sneaking into his kitchen area to steal his ice cream bars or something like that. And he was like, wait, you like these too?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, you're a wake up in the middle of the night and go sneak some ice cream guy as well? You know, mm-hmm. like, okay.
Yeah, he's a real person. He wears like cotton pajamas.
Yeah.
and he lets his hair get ruffled. Yeah. You know?
And then after this weekend together, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that are pretending to be friends, they swap phone numbers.
And they text each other, they snap,
there's something that happens that Alex wants to, I can't remember, share or some meme or something that he sends Henry. And then Henry actually is funny too. Alex realizes because Henry sends him back like this funny comment.
They're joking and their banter and they're like friends would.
Yeah.
You know, like it's cute.
And it's super cute too because then his like sister and stuff is like, who are you? Like, you're like lighting up every time you go to your phone. Like, who are you? Like, what's going on? What's going on? You're like that glow when you're texting at the beginning, you know.
Yes. And I love how he's always like, objectively, he's very good looking. I love that. Yeah. And who did you guys think Prince Henry was? When, like, if you were imagining who?
Ryan Gosling-esque.
Oh, really?
A little bit.
I kept thinking of Joe Alwyn. I don't know why.
Who's Joe Alwyn?
He's an actor. He's an English actor. He dated Taylor for, like, 7 years.
Okay.
he was in gosh, she was in a really good movie about, I should look it up. Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe play the parents. He's a preacher. Oh. And their only son, who is played by Joe Alwyn, is gay. And in this preacher home, like, that is not allowed. And so that's they terrible. Send him to a camp to rehabilitate him.
Oh,
and
no.
It is awful.
Oh,
and
oh.
And he there's, while in the camp, one of the attendees commits suicide because their method of rehabilitating was just despicable.
Oh,
and it God. And this happened. I mean, these kinds of things were going on. They probably
oh.
still are.
Oh my gosh, that's
and
terrible.
I loved the movie. It brought to light, like, this is so sad. And Nicole Kidman as the mother was like, I have to rescue you from this
yes.
place. And I don't care. I love you and I accept you for who you are. Like, that was the message
yeah.
that
oh,
you
I'm
got
so
from
glad
the story.
That happened.
And for the preacher dad to come around mm-hmm. eventually.
Oh,
it was a beautiful
oh,
story.
That's...
It was well done, but Joe Alwyn played that character. So
I want to watch that.
It was a well done movie.
I kind of was picturing Kelly Ripa's husband. What is his name?
Oh,
like a young, when
Mark.
He was young. Yeah.
Dude, I love how you guys know names. That's just so cool.
Well,
I'm so
I didn't. I don't know his name. I'm,
well, me and Libby like, used to watch Riverdale together.
Wait, Riverdale.
Yeah.
I watched a couple episodes with my kids, too. And then I realized this is not the Archie comic we grew up with.
No,
oh, really?
Not.
Well, when the boys
it's
were
like,
little,
oh
we
my
went
gosh.
To we went to a garage sale,
yeah,
and
yeah.
there was this big, like, old suitcase full of comics.
That's like
it was
the coolest
all,
thing ever.
Archie comics from, like,
oh.
the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And I asked the
Wiley
lady.
Wiley reminds me of Archie.
He reminds me of Archie,
yeah.
too.
Yes,
totally.
Wiley is
yes.
totally a super cute Archie.
But
yeah.
he's, I asked them how much, like, a comic book was.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, $5. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you guys pick out one. She said no.
For all of them,
for the suitcase. So we took home the suitcase
the
full
coolest.
Of Archie comics, and they
that's
were like
the best.
They were like six and
mm-hmm.
eight, you know.
Yeah.
And so we went through those art. They went like
that's the coolest.
Looked at those Archie comics over and over again. So we were really excited when
Riverdale
came out. We watched it together. We're like, that's
no, that's not. That's not.
Yeah.
Riverdale, we remember. That's so
yes.
funny. Yeah, so Mark Consuelos was your, like a young Mark Consuelos.
Yeah, that's who I
which
was.
Which one was?
Picturing.
Was
yeah.
he Archie in Riverdale, or which?
No, he
was.
No,
he
was.
He was
one
Veronica's.
Yes,
Veronica's
dad.
Oh,
he
okay.
was kind of the villain.
Yeah, he
yes,
was kind
he
of
was.
A. Yeah,
well, he
was.
He
the
was
villain.
A villain.
Yeah,
he was not kind of.
Yeah, there was a couple of villains that were parents.
So Mark Consuelos plays Alex, and Joe Alwyn
yes.
to me plays.
But you gotta think of like Mark as like a 22-year-old,
so cute,
23-year-old.
Yeah.
So cute. Because
yeah.
I think
yeah.
back
yeah.
then he was in soap operas.
Yeah,
and that's how he and Kelly had met. So
yeah.
That's so
yeah, I don't know which soap opera it was. I've not.
I love how soap operas, they would have like a baby and then that baby would be a baby for like 6 months in the soap opera. And then that baby
the
would
be
like
would
be seven.
Like a teenager.
And then like two.
Rotating.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And then two seasons later, they would have another character that they were starting to sled around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. It's
yeah, you're an adult
like
now.
Teenagers. You're like, wait, hold on.
So
wasn't
funny.
That just a baby like a year ago?
Yeah, exactly. And they look like. They're like, yeah, whoa, the mom is still 27 and the kid is now legal?
That's so funny. I've never actually watched a soap opera. I don't
my
even
know. My grandma
and
I used to watch all my children together.
But then I think, so Alex, I can't remember what happens
the
in
turkey.
His life. That's when he calls.
So the turkey incident, which was oh funny. So this is why I probably want to watch this because I want to see the turkey
yeah.
scene.
Yeah.
Because Alex finds out
oh, okay.
about
yes,
how
okay.
the turkeys are going to be pardoned
mm-hmm.
and the expense. They have like the whole motorcade, which is millions of dollars to run
yeah.
a motorcade. And then they're put the turkeys up in a 5-star hotel before they go to the White House to be pardoned
mm-hmm.
so they don't have to be killed on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so Alex finds out about this like gross like misuse of our government money, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, I won't have it. The turkeys can stay in my room. We're not paying the money. And so his mom's like, well, you asked for it, you get it. So there's these two turkeys sitting in their cages, just staring at him. And he's like, they keep gobbling at me. I'm like, I can't sleep. It's terrifying. And so he actually, for the first time ever, picks up the phone, and in England it's like 3 a.m. and Henry's like, oh, I never sleep anyway, what's going on, tell you. And he just keeps goading him into getting, because the turkeys won't gobble for him. He's like, it's terrifying, you need to hear this. And he gets him to like get up close and cuddle the turkeys. Freaking hilarious.
Yes, that was so great. Cute.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope they don't cut that scene in the...
No, that's got to be... That's for sure.
Yeah, but so they kind of connect that way.
Yeah.
And then at Thanksgiving, there's kind of Alex's mom, Ellen, and Oscar's dad. They're all having a big family Thanksgiving, and you know, they kind of have an argument, and it really bothers Alex. So he gets frustrated with everyone and leaves, and he doesn't know, he doesn't have, he wants to talk about it to somebody.
Yes.
So the only person he doesn't know who
to talk to about it.
Yeah.
So he calls Henry.
Yeah.
And Henry is such a good, grounded person, and he calms Alex down, and he allows Alex to just talk, and they talk for hours.
And Alex is like kind of a high strung.
Yeah.
Like, I think of him as the personality of Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Like that really talkative, like over anxious, frenetic energy.
Yeah.
And Henry's just grounded and stable and like.
What does Henry see in Alex is what I don't get.
I think that they might feed off of each other's energy.
Yin and yang, so you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we do in life. Totally.
Yeah, I think so too. But this starts, I think, that connection and that kind of love starts happening.
Yeah.
Is they start really opening up to each other, their
it's
thoughts
true.
And feelings, and they start looking at each other in a different way.
It's so sweet.
Yeah,
it is.
And I think, is it at this point that he's like, you know, why did you snub me all those years ago? Like, it really hurt me when you wanted to get rid of me. Like, what was that about? And he's like, well, my dad had just died.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a really bad place and I really didn't want to be around people.
Yeah.
I was really struggling.
It had nothing to do with you.
It had nothing to do with you. And he was like,
which Alex had never really considered that was a possibility.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. You know, I guess, and that's totally legit.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny? There's points in life, I think we all do that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's hard sometimes to get out of our own head.
Yeah, like, that wasn't personal. No, that wasn't personal at all.
So then they have this New Year's ball, which I loved because Paz comes.
Yes.
And it sounded like it was a really fun event, and they better have that in there too.
Yeah.
Just all sorts of fun shenanigans happen at the White House, and so Prince Henry and Pez show up, and Pez is really into Alex's sister. Why am I blanking on her name?
June.
Thank you. But the whole night, like, he's like, I don't want to babysit Prince Henry. This is not his deal. Like, he will not have fun at this party because it's not his jam at all. Like, he's used to waltzing.
Yeah.
We're going to be grinding.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, and he's like, you've never ground. You've never had that that coming of age experience.
So he's like, let me show you.
I know.
And he's got Nora over there. And they're just, like, grinding on each other. And the whole time, though, he's watching Henry. Because he's really actually wants him to have a good time.
Yeah.
And he can't really actually pay attention to anybody else.
Yeah. Yes.
And Nora's picking up on it.
Yes.
She's perceptive.
And so the ball drops, it's midnight, and, you know, he's got to have someone to kiss. So it was Nora, I think Nora and him had maybe even dated a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, previously. I got that vibe.
And so they kiss, and Henry sees it, and he leaves.
Jealous.
He's jealous. He walks out. And in Alex, because he's a little bit in his own head, yeah, kind of a person. Uh-huh. And so he just carries on with the night. But then he's like, he notices
Henry's gone. Yeah.
And it's upsetting. So he goes to look for him. And this is a cute scene.
I loved it. It was so cute.
Good job. This is the scene where you're like oh, yeah.
It might have.
They're getting together.
I love that the more reserved one, you know, like, I love that Henry is the one that's the more aggressive and makes it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Alex, he was like, what's happening? And then
he was like,
So they, Alex looks for Henry and finds him out in the courtyard, mm-hmm. just standing there watching like the snowfall or whatever.
The stars. He's trying to find Orion or something.
He comes out and talks to him.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really say much, but I think Henry says, you don't, like, there are things that I want that I can't have or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And basically kind of keeps alluding to like, do you not know I'm into you?
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't.
Without saying it, he doesn't say it. Alex has no idea.
Alex is so clueless. Even though Alex has been totally sending that I'm into you signals, Alex doesn't even know that he's been flirting.
No. He has no... Alex lacks self-awareness.
Yeah.
For sure. And Henry is very self-possessed.
Yes. He knows...
But he's been raised to be that way. So it makes sense.
And then Henry just is like frustrated. Like, okay. So he kisses Alex and Alex is like, oh my gosh. But actually, I really love it.
Yeah, exactly.
So when this scene happened, I was like, it was very well done. And I was thinking of a good friend of mine that was telling me about her first kiss.
Yeah.
And because she didn't know she was lesbian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she, because society, like, we portray men and women, and that's it. So, I mean, how would you know? You think that that's the norm?
Yeah.
And so she, like, the first kiss that she had, it was electric. She's like, oh, my gosh, this is it.
What does Valerie say? It gives you the tinglies?
And it was sparks flew. And I wondered for Alex, like, I think sparks flew.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like reeling. Like, I didn't know.
Is this happening? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so for the next while, they are like, for quite a bit of the book from here on forward. And it makes sense because it's wow, that is such a good feeling.
Yes. Well, and Henry just basically runs away like Cinderella.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because he's worried. He's so worried that he overstepped, that maybe Alex doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that would be like.
I don't know.
Can you imagine how scary that would be? Because the assumption is for 90% of the population that it's a heterosexual. Like,
yeah.
And can you walk around saying, just so you know,
I'm the exception.
Either way,
this is my sexual. This is what I prefer.
Yeah,
I mean, which is
because we don't advertise everything.
But also, the thing is too, is like, who wants to do that? Because like, don't you want things to be natural in your life?
Do you want to have to be able to take
that step? Because what if you were reading the room wrong?
Well, and I think,
and also, that's going to happen.
We know now that there are so many sexual preferences. You know, it runs the gamut. So
it sure does.
to find that person that feels the same way is hard.
What a huge risk to take!
It is.
How scary! Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just the whole time I was like,
I sure hope he was brave. I sure hope
that
as a society that we all can relax a little bit and not be quite so uptight. If like, it's not an insult if anyone ever hits on you. Someone actually hitting on you is not an insult. Someone not respecting you when you say, oh no, thank you, is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not disrespectful for someone to express interest in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so like, people shouldn't be mad at that point, but it is disrespectful for someone to interrupt what you're doing to express your interest in you, or to not to get upset if you don't reciprocate the interest, mm-hmm. or to not accept, you know, to keep pestering you if you say I'm not interested.
If you're okay with yourself, you're okay with yourself. It doesn't matter. Exactly. Like, you know, it should be like, oh, that makes me feel really good that you're interested, but that's, I'm not.
But you like, know? Exactly. Just in my experience, like going to that next level and saying I am interested is so scary.
It is so scary.
But I think it's so scary. It's a whole nother layer of scary. Absolutely. If you don't know if they feel they're on that same mm-hmm. page, because mm-hmm. things can get violent.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Things can get really mean.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing for a guy to hit on me and to say, hey, I want to take it to the next level. And for me to say, no, I don't feel the same way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
But in this scenario, like, people can get nasty if they didn't reciprocate
and
that.
And I so hope
and
that.
And so that's what I was like. Kinder. I was like, yay. I'm so happy it worked. And what a huge thing for them to go through. Mm-hmm. That's what was going through my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I was excited mm-hmm. that they got through that huge, scary thing, but that it could have gone somewhere.
Yeah, it could have.
Alex was.
And my heart breaks that people have to, like, have to have that extra layer of struggle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alex was, I mean, we were, the story is through Alex's eyes.
Yes. Yeah.
So he kind of had like a moment where that was amazing and he loved it, mm-hmm. but he started questioning himself. He's like, so what do I like? What preference? I kind of always thought I was this way, but maybe I like something else because I mm-hmm. really like Henry mm-hmm. and I really mm-hmm. like that kiss.
And they had been really flirting quite a bit.
Yeah.
It was definitely, but Henry knew it was flirting. Alex didn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I love that Alex then went and started to explore with people that were safe to explore with. And I love
or
that
people
the
he
first
thought were
person
safe.
Was Nora.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she, being the data analyst, was able to objectively point out all of these very clear.
Yes.
So I'm so happy that he had somebody that knew him well like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he started thinking too about his best friend in high school mm-hmm. and the relationship they had.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts thinking, that might have been like, maybe I didn't pick up that we were actually something more than, you know,
like the things we were doing, which he didn't think anything of it because it's totally normal to be curious and to explore.
Yeah,
that way.
Exactly.
But he didn't realize that for him, and when he asked his friend point blank, like, were we doing stuff? And he's like, yeah, it was super gay.
I'm gay now.
I'm gay and I'm with someone and I'm very happy.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, and I loved his friend's response to you, like, well, I'm really glad that you're having this epiphany like 2 or 3 years too late for me.
Yeah, because they stop, you know, after high school, they don't communicate.
Because he kind of, you know, I feel like the friend, like it's the thing that you were talking about too, where there's that rejection factor where the friend's all like, so we're like, we're a couple, right? You know, but he never actually, his best friend from high school never took that step to do that scary on the line.
Yeah.
That's a scary step.
Yeah.
Well, and Alex wasn't there yet.
He wasn't
obviously
there yet.
Totally not picking up on the.
Alex is not there.
I was clueless. Like people pointed out, like, you didn't know that I was so into. I was like, no. We were friends all that time.
Well, and especially if you have like we have flirty personalities. And Alex has a very flirty personality.
Yes.
You know, we're teasy, flirty people. And so a lot of the times it's like, yeah, but that's how I talk to everyone. So, like, I didn't know I was giving you vibes because I'm like, I do that with, like, everyone. I'm like, hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
You sure
do. Like, what are you And so it's like, yeah, okay, well, that's just
kinda. And then Alex reaches back out to Henry because Henry mm-hmm. goes silent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically.
He was pretty scared, understandably.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, like, absolutely.
He put himself out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then this is where kind of things turn
yeah,
more romantic. Mm,
they look for every excuse to be together.
But isn't and that it's true? So it's so great. Cute. Yeah. It's so young love.
And it's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, that extra, like, secretive piece to it where they have to, like...
Well, they...
That kind of makes it hotter.
Secret security measures, and they have to have hidden...
And right down to there's a camera over there. There's a...
So they're starting to look for ways to be together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're trying every minute they possibly can
whether
be
it
together.
Being like the tack room after his polo.
Yeah. Oh, that was hot. I have to say, she does a great job of writing the little love scenes, too.
The love scenes were good.
Yeah.
Yes. I just love them together.
They're cute.
Yeah, they are cute together. And so they meet up as much as they possibly can in the public eye and make it look like they're being friendly.
Yeah.
Without crossing that line.
The romance.
Of, yes. And so... The night of the Democratic National Convention, there was some upset with one of the senators that had been, that their family had taken under their wing.
Yeah. And he had
switched teams. But I don't want to get into that because it's a really good separate plot line.
Yeah.
And I thought she did a really good job weaving different plot lines. Yeah. Because we're focusing.
Well, I was going to say with the relationship, this was somebody who... That's Nora. This is the other person that Alex went and talked to about his feelings and stuff like that. He went and had a conversation with this guy at the beginning. Oh, I thought it was it was at the beginning. He kind of went and, hey, do you know, like, how do you know if you are, because he went and asked him, how do you know if you're, and so I think that was kind of,
he said, stuff it down. If you want to be in politics, you are not going to let broadcast that. If you have those kinds of feelings, you do not, if you're in the public, like, you don't want to deal with the hellstorm that comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for Alex, he's like, oh, shoot. Because
this guy had dealt with the hellstorm from it.
Yeah. And so, yes, in that regards, he did.
And so,
he was a good friend to Alex and a confidant.
Yeah, exactly. So, and so Alex did spill the beans to this guy in a sense, like, he gave him a big heads up that he didn't tell him he was, like, having feelings for the prince, but it was going to be obvious to this guy what spurred the, you know, all the questions.
So he's really upset because this person that their family had taken under their wing and that he really admired switched teams.
Yeah,
switched teams. The night of the Democratic National Convention. And so it was a big upset. And he didn't know, he was floundering and he...
And this guy knew secrets about their fam, and it was personal things about him.
So he goes back to the hotel room and Henry goes to comfort him. Because he really cares, you know, like he understood that how upsetting that would be.
Yes.
So he went to comfort him. And I think it was at that point that there may have been some photographs.
Yeah.
That led them to have to say, okay, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
Do we cover this up? Because now this is going to be public knowledge that there's a romance happening between our nations.
Both of their families. Well, you know, there was like, there's a lot going on. It's like, before this kind of comes out, you know, they're so in love and they're trying to figure out how do they move forward because it really is going to affect their whole family. Like, because both of their families in so many ways.
They do not tolerate.
No.
Yes.
This is unacceptable. Your whole purpose in life is to continue our royal bloodline.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how is that going to happen?
Yes.
You know, so they're struggling with this piece of just letting their family know and then the public.
Accepting that the nation is going to know.
Yeah.
Right. They're worried about, like, how is this going to affect our election chances? Like, and that's always on the radar.
Yeah.
So
there's big hurdles.
There are ramifications
for
them.
Huge hurdles for them.
And then they have to make a decision as a couple if they're going to, if they're going to take the cover-up stories, like, no, someone just AI'd this.
Yeah, the queen offered that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or are they going to take the cover-up options, or are they going to... Or are they going to just be a couple and have it just known?
Yeah.
And so that's, I think we should leave it there.
I do want to leave it there because I really, like, this is a really good
book. Yeah, this is a good book.
I think it's well worth the read. I don't want to spoil it for anybody
on
how this comes to be resolved.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know, because it's a romance novel, that they're going to end up together. I just always have to point that out.
Yeah. Because we've got to kind of go there. But
I think one thing too, like one thing that I noticed too is this author made it more than just a romance novel too. There was a lot of political insightfulness in this, in this book too. So I think that we have our couple resolution we have our couple resolution. And then they wrap up the political resolution. Mm-hmm. So the couple resolution happens about 2 hours because I listened to it on audio tape. Would you guys say about 2 hours before? And then the last part of the book
is
2 to 3 hours.
The last 3 hours is the resolution of the political subplot. Yeah.
Which is also good. But from a romance novel perspective, your resolution occurs.
I was more interested, actually. I was surprised. I was more interested in the romance resolution.
Me too. I was more interested. I was too.
Well, because I really
cared about those
characters. You do care about them. The characters.
We want them to be together because they love each other so much.
They do, and they help each other grow. Mm-hmm. I really love. Yes. That's what I love about
this. They supported each other emotionally. They met each other where they are.
Yes.
They were anticipating each other.
And they love each other so much. Really they do is dream of being together someday. They like each other so much. They just want to be together.
Sometimes do you think that the dream of like overcoming the obstacle of getting to be together can also make you want it more?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That fuels the fire for sure. Mm-hmm. Gives you something to work towards.
Absolutely.
Because who doesn't like to have something to overcome in life? Right?
Yeah.
We're kind of drawn to problem solving.
Yeah. So, okay, let's do our little, our
ratings
question.
Yeah, How likely is it that they would get together?
I think pretty likely because, you know, you've got like, delegating with people from other countries and,
like this would have been a dream, quote unquote, dream relationship if Henry had fallen in love with the sister. Like the countries would have been celebrating it. It would have been the most amazing thing ever.
There would be no cover-ups. It would be celebrated, which is really sad.
I kind of was like, that was the heartbreaking reality. That was the heartbreaking reality
because they're so perfect together.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
in every way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, like that was what was heartbreaking to me is that like how
and they had to hide that.
How awful! Because here we had this amazing love story. Mm-hmm.
It was,
and it couldn't be celebrated, and I was so sad about that. I'm like
that made me root for them even harder.
Me too. And the fact that this was shameful instead of celebrated, I'm like, that's crazy. Because how often do these people get those happy endings? You know, they don't get to life. They don't get a public. You know, and I'm just like, we actually have true love here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's true love.
So I would say, I want to say destined.
I think destined.
Yeah, destined.
Yes.
It was magical. You did a great job, Casey McQuiston.
She did an amazing job.
How long were their relationship last?
I think forever.
25 to life.
25 for life. Yep.
Lisa?
You know how I vote. You're the like.
I mean, they're still young. Their prefrontal cortex is, they're two young men. Their prefrontal cortexes are not fully formed.
You know what? Okay, so I will say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am a prefrontal cortex fallen lover.
Yeah.
That had to grow up real fast. And I was pretty clueless. I would say I was on the verge of being an Alex, you know, like just that lack of self-awareness at that age.
Yeah.
And I will say that for Brad and I, like we grew up together.
Yes, absolutely.
And sometimes when you grow up together, and there's been some studies that will say that you grow together in the same way. Like you're building a foundation, like everything.
Yeah.
And so it's not, I don't want to like totally poo-poo the prefrontal cortex stage.
No, I agree with you. I agree.
Because at the stage we were at in life, we were like, we had to problem solve.
I think if you have healthy
work together. Yeah.
Communication patterns, they were supportive of each other. They had healthy communication patterns. They had foundations that I think that they could, they had the ability to grow together.
Healthier communication strategies.
Absolutely.
I don't think he was there at the beginning, but
he
had a lot of growth.
Not. Yeah, he did.
And
he
so I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. And he could grow, and they show growth together. So I'm positive for him.
Yeah. I also feel that they both had like their people, like Alex had Nora and June, and
he had his sister.
Henry has Pez and Beatrice, and all of the like they make even a together. They come together and a lot of like at some parties and some.
Yes,
they all really like each other.
Really,
they make a good little.
Yes, they do.
People.
They have a good community to.
And so
guide
I think
them.
That only helps that. Relationship and you
totally
have
does.
People supporting you and your relationship
and people who would check them and people who would say, I know your strengths and your weaknesses. I know their strengths and I know their weaknesses and people who are okay with people having strengths and weaknesses. But yeah, it's like a really good friend group.
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
so
hey,
too.
I'm seeing this.
And
like
and
I said,
I think Alex has goals.
Yeah.
He has dreams. Henry has goals. He has dreams.
Yeah.
And they support that for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think they, I'm going to give them a chance.
Oh. They made it up. I just want to report right here. It does happen.
She's only done it a few times.
Yes.
This is one.
I think that they've made, you guys can read it and see that they overcome some pretty huge hurdles.
They do. And they grow. And they grow together. They show that they can grow together.
That they started out as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that good solid foundation.
And they also
had
the chemistry.
But
they also
have that chemistry that's necessary.
Yeah, you do. I hate to say it. Like, I do believe you start with a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of, I really do think the thing that makes the difference between a really good friend and your spouse, your life partner, is the chemistry.
If we treated our partners the way that we treat our friends, and I will say, like, there's a difference. Like sometimes partners come to these power struggles, whereas friends
don't do that.
We support each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's why I keep saying friends.
Yes.
I mean, of course, not like we're not roommate friends. Like we're still going to have our good times in the sheets. But like if you are truly supportive of your partner, that's what matters most.
Yes.
You need
and
to
you're
be.
And you're not trying to. Overstep and power play each other all the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
No. You gotta be responsible for yourself. Well, I think I think that's a good, really good point, Lisa, is that in friendships.
And they have that.
You don't
and that's
expect
why I'm giving them
friends.
The 25.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't expect your friends to be your grown up.
Mm-mm. Nope. You're just there to support each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was a pretty spicy book.
It was a very spicy book,
yes.
But it wasn't like it felt appropriate.
It felt generic. It felt good.
That other
it
book we had read, The Spice Factor, was it was gross.
It was
icky.
Because it felt like there was somebody trying to power play control the other person versus the love and support
and
coming together.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that did both of these books back to back.
That's
right. The one and then this one.
And they were both very spicy.
They were.
Yeah.
I would say
spicy.
This was a habanero.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This was a hot. It was hot because it wasn't just physically hot.
Yeah.
It was emotionally hot.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. That's a very good emotional hotness versus like. Steamy?
Sinister.
Yes. It was sinister hot.
Sinister
yes,
hot.
Exactly.
And it just felt gross to me.
Yeah, it did. But, you know, they still had hotness. They still had I'm angry with you. You don't, or whatever, like, and yeah. I'm going to push you up against a wall and I'm going to be aggressive today, or today I'm going to be kind and soft
and playful
and playful. Like they yeah. have those mm-hmm. things. And they, and the thing that I thought that made that their sex scenes hot was because it was dimensional. Yeah, it wasn't always like those, and I'm going to bang you hard, and I'm banging you hard, and I'm banging you, I'm banging you, and
I'm going to call them names, and I'm going to stuff stuff in your mouth so you can't yell, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's not, and, that is not,
you know, and maybe, and in a relationship.
Too, I guess. That yeah, is and, me trying to power play.
And sometimes that you. Can be hot. You know, like if you, sometimes that can be hot.
If you're trying to be possessive with another
in,
person.
In a relationship, yes. You know, sometimes you can put on different personas and have those experiences.
And if you're saying to your partner, hey, this is, I kind of want to do this, play this role.
Yeah,
today.
But you're
I'm
not like,
that,
you're
or,
not,
you know,
you're not diminishing yeah. them. But like, if you're yeah, like, I'm going to that's be, different. I, yeah. yeah, today we're not going to be soft and cuddly and nice today. We're going to be a little bit hard.
We're
you're pulling my hair.
Some
and,
lips. We're going to, you
yeah,
know,
yeah. Like if it's a pull my hair
chains.
Day, and there are some days, like honestly, girl, there are some days,
yes, exactly.
there are days but, when I want my hair pulled,
yeah.
and there are days when I want
oh,
you to impress me soft.
Point.
Yeah, but you don't want it every day. You don't want
yes,
it every
I do.
Day. Okay, you can scratch my back. If you want to just scratch my back while taking me from behind with a little like toy
oh,
in the front,
oh,
I'm like golden. I could do that probably 99 out of 100 times. Like, what? Got a toy? Got my back scratched? Yes, you
yeah.
do what you need to do. I'm as happy.
Like, yeah. I mean, this yeah. is habanero hot.
Yes,
it is, and it was just nice and fun and cute
yeah.
and. And it's that whole, and it, she did such a good job.
So I
of
really
doing
would
the new
recommend
passion.
This book. Like, we cared about
mm-hmm.
the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Does this book matter? Hugely so.
Yeah.
I think it not only shows just our view of
mm-hmm.
females in a leadership role,
mm-hmm.
which I loved, but just the reality of what it's like to have to, you know, come out. And how
well,
scary and hard that is.
And especially if you're in
even
the public
now.
Eye.
And especially with that extra added layer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
She did a great job
yeah.
of showing
really?
That this is beautiful.
Yes. And really, it's just a really good love story.
It is.
It
and I love
it's
that
it's a
she,
great romance.
I love
like,
that
good
she
love
picked
story.
The, mm-hmm. the less emotionally mature character to kind of
to have the growth
yeah
have.
Yeah
I love that she picked yeah because she could have told the story through Henry's as Henry as the Superman focus and it wouldn't have been as
because there wouldn't have been as much growth
yeah
Henry's because, was pretty self-actualized
yeah he was pretty
yeah.
self-actualized and so it was cute to see and it was cute to see our little squirrel you know find
yeah.
out literally yes. He got his nuts.
So I would recommend this.
I'm just so proud of that. I didn't even intend it. Emily got a high note. XOXO. Love y'all.
Call
me T-Bone. Call me
T-Bone. Oh, God.
Okay, well, what was
your
favorite line?
I love it.
What was our favorite? I didn't have a favorite line.
Did
I didn't
write it down.
I didn't
I mean,
write
I just was
down.
So immersed the whole time.
Me too.
I loved it.
The whole, it was all good. It was all good.
I mean, probably any part of the turkey scene I loved. I was giggling all the time.
The turkey scene was so
it
freaking
was good.
Cute.
No, well, does it matter? Yes.
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 This matters so much.
This book
it matters.
Sorry.
It matters, you know, just what, how we perceive love.
Yeah.
How we perceive, you know, like being open-minded to people playing different roles in politics and in relationships.
It just, yeah.
And, you know,
absolutely. It just made me so crazy sad that here we have this insane, amazing, like awesome love story and like a true love moment.
Yeah.
And instead of getting to celebrate it, they had to like
hide it.
I think as a society, I think as a society, we get too caught up in
trauma
sexes like what are you a male are you a female are you male Like, that is beyond the
point.
Does
it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Yes. Why does that matter? They love each other and mm-hmm. we want to support that.
Yes. Exactly. What matters are you good people? Do you love each other?
Are you going to support each other to be good?
Yep.
Yeah.
That is bottom line what we need to be focusing
Absolutely.
On. We don't need to be focusing on anything other than
Do you
that.
Want to, do you guys want to have a long-term commitment to each other? That's what celebrating a relationship in a marriage does. Like, okay, we care so much about each other. We want to declare that we are going to support each other for life. Mm-hmm. And we want our friends and family to acknowledge that we are making a public declaration in front of other people that when times get hard, we're going to try to work on it together. We are saying, I'm their person. They're my person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why part of why this matters. This book
it does.
Is just,
it matters.
It's a very important book.
Mm-hmm. I think
so. I hope
that other book
we reviewed that they're doing a Netflix special on, I'm like, yeah. But this one, I'm like, yes, make the special.
Yes.
I think it's on Amazon. I should look that up because I don't want to.
Is the story engaging? Yes. The love story, the political story,
the friendships, the characters are fun.
Yes.
And I love it because almost every character is dimensional. Mm-hmm. Even security guards, they had dimension.
They did. They had their own lives and their own things going on. You know?
Yeah, she just did such a good job.
Mm-hmm. I think
and
so
the
too.
Pacing and the tone of the book, it was very well written.
I thought so too.
She,
I loved
for
it.
Her debut novel, Casey. Sheesh.
Dang girl.
There you go.
I would recommend this to anyone.
Formation.
I mean, I was talking to Owen about it the other day, and I said I'm really liking this book. And I kind of explained it to him. He's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And I said, Owen, I like it. And I think you should read it too, simply because it's about a relationship between people. And that's what's exciting to me is it's the romance between two people. It was a beautiful, healthy relationship.
And you know what? I even think because the relationship is so well written. I think that anybody who's saying, I don't know if I really want to read gay love scenes, it didn't feel like that at all. When you were reading this. So this is a good bridge for anybody who's saying, I think that kind of makes me feel eh. And even like when you're talking about even your sons being able to read it or whatever, it's hot. But it's not written. It's written in such an amazing.
I was so excited for them.
I know. Yes, you love it. You're cheering for them. Yeah. You're like, I'd have to say the love scenes in this, like people are like, oh, 50 Shades of Grey, you know, just their attraction and this is so attractive. Their love scenes are hot because it's just a coming together. It's totally that new relationship. Oh my gosh. And she does such a good job.
People come to romance novels because they do like a lot of people come to them for the steam scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even if so you're imagining and your brain actually, as you're reading, it senses those same things. Those areas of your brain are highlighted.
Yeah.
So like,
oh yeah.
People get off on it, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And like, it did not bother me at all.
No.
I was like, ooh.
I was getting
they were getting together.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like,
it made me, I got more tingly
even though,
with this than I did.
I can't relate to that exact scenario because I haven't been in anything similar to
but,
that.
But
yeah,
yeah,
it
but
was still,
it's still like a,
exciting. It felt good.
It's an interesting thing because it's exciting. In a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I'm not thinking like, oh, I've got the man on top of me and I can really understand and feel how that was.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I could see when they're talking about the sex scenes in this book, I can not maybe necessarily feel it, but I can see how sexy it is. I'm like, I can see two people doing that, and it totally
ignited all those gooey new love feelings, you know, like I'm like, ooh,
oh, there was
I got it. I got to experience all of their new love hotness. You know, it kind of reminded me of, okay, so like, because, you know, obviously I'm not a male, I can't have that kind of sexual experience. But what it reminded me of is like, you know, when you're reading the sexy fantasy books or whatever, where like, ooh, there's the, you know, there's the vampire and they're having their kind of sex with the werewolf having their kind of sex.
My brain didn't have to go that far.
We read genres where the fairy's having sex and like, I don't have wings. I can't pick you up and fly with you or whatever it is. Hmm. You know, so it's not like we don't read spiciness in a, it's not like we don't read about people having sex in ways that we can't have sex or enjoy sex. And that still turns us on.
Yeah.
This was so well written that even though that's not a way that I can enjoy sex, it was still hot.
Yeah.
Because, and also the relationship.
I don't know what it's like to have a penis.
I don't.
Wouldn't it be so great sometimes just to be able to like pee?
You know, oh, like, without a shiwi?
Yeah, I do have a shiwi, but it's just not the same.
It's just not the same.
I know. I see that the boys could like turn their back and be a clip next to the fence. I'm like, what are they doing? Oh,
I have pictures of Brad and Corbin next to each other. And I thought they were just looking out at something, but no, they're peeing together.
You're in some public place and you've got to go to the bathroom and you can't just squat somewhere.
I know.
But men can just like turn towards the bush.
Remember when all the kids were eating?
But it's so much easier for a man just to turn towards a bush, you know?
You don't have to have your whole moon out.
If guys wear shorts, they could just pull their bottom half of their short up and pee, you know? It's like so easy.
Well,
I can do that. Like, you've seen me do that.
Lisa, you can't just stand and, like, pull your short up.
I've seen her do it. But I've also seen you. I've also seen her fail at doing that, too.
Yes, it doesn't go down your shoe.
Yeah, we're hiking. It's fine.
I gotta work on that.
It's a skill.
You have to stand with your feet apart and shift your. I think you'd have to shift your hips a little bit so that it kind of goes.
I nail it.
Dang. Nailed
it. I do that. I guess I gotta go back and start practicing my back. When I was potty training my two children. Have I told you guys this?
We'll get into this.
Corbin, you know, the same age. Like, Livia was like, I was really working hard with Corbin. Like, he had his little step stool in front of the toilet. He, you know, put the lid up.
And you have the Cheerios.
And Livia's sitting there watching me, and she's like, wow, that looks great.
Yeah.
So one day, she's like 1.5. One day, I'm walking past the bathroom and it's the light's not on and I look over and I glance and all I see is the stool has been moved to the side of the toilet. She's got her left foot on the stool. She's got her right leg splayed across the toilet bowl resting on the opposite side, so she's straddling it the best she can, and her little bum, like she's taking off the bottom half of her clothes and she's peeing.
I love it.
I'm like, oh, I probably need to put like,
I like that way of going to the bathroom.
Yeah,
that
seems very easy, but yeah, it's not as easy for me as it is for Corbin. She problem solved her wake you up. Anyway.
Smart girl.
That's the closest I've ever come to knowing what it's like. Side note.
I totally love that.
Anyway.
Did you give her Cheerios to try to sink the Cheerios?
No. I think I got like a toilet reducer ring so that she could do it.
I think I told you guys this too. When we were potty training the boys, it's almost like you've got to go to the bathroom, just go anywhere. Not in your pants.
Yes.
Here, just go outside, go whatever. A lot of the time they would go, we have a big deck off of our back door goes out to our backyard. So the boys would just go run out to the edge of the deck and pee off the deck. Mm-hmm. So my salon has a big deck in front of with like the faces
kind of a 5-lane highway.
Yes, very busy street. And Owen was little and he's like, Mom, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. So he goes, I hear the door shut. The front door shut. And I go out and look. He's peeing off the front deck, facing the street.
All the traffic.
I was like, oh, Okay. Well, okay, now we need to have the lesson of appropriate racism.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
He naturally just thought, instead of going and using the bathroom,
this is where we go.
Out off the deck.
That's so funny. We've got the best potty training stories, too. You remember the plum incident?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was awesome. Well,
we've got to get looking into that one another day.
We'll wrap it up with, what would it be like?
So good.
So thank you for listening, you guys.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks.
I want to, next time we're going to talk about, I should prep this beforehand. But
I love that you do this. Thank you for being our organization.
I know. You know I can't help myself.
Well, you know what? You know I can't.
Your brain.
I can't do it. Yeah.
Me and my spreadsheets and my PowerPoints. And, yeah, it's a thing.
We love that you're on board.
So we're going to watch a movie next week. Bros. Is the name of the movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I like it.
I feel bad I didn't look up and write who's starring in it, but it's to celebrate the month of June, Pride Month, that we selected that. Mm-hmm. We actually recorded it a long time ago.
I know, we almost recorded it
almost
a year in advance, but.
Yeah.
Oh, you were sick that day?
I was sick that day.
Okay. Was it just you and I?
Yeah,
all right.
I was sick.
Yeah.
Well,
it was fun.
Okay. Yeah.
So
it was a good show.
I always forget that you sometimes... If there's one person missing, because we're always doing this together, I forget if somebody's not there. But so you are in our hearts.
Yes, you always are there. So that's what we're going to do next week. So watch it before, you know, I'd love for you guys to get on our website, myperfectromance.com.
Yeah.
You can send us, I love it. People have reached out for interviews.
Yeah.
They have sent us their love stories and questions.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we call it? The WWYD.
What would you do?
What would you do?
Yeah.
And we're just talking as friends.
Ask us as a friend, what would you do?
Yeah.
We'll give you that advice.
We'll
give you our
professional. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unprofessional
perspective. Yep. But everything's on our website.
Yes.
Perfectromance.com.
Oh, we'd love you to visit it.
Yep. Yes. Hugs and kisses.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.